It is a year of definite things. The Lord is removing ambiguity. He is removing uncertainty. He is removing sitting on the fence, bringing certainty. It is God by His Spirit that has brought you here, and He has brought you here for a purpose. I want you to talk to the Lord. Perfect your purpose in my life. Let there be hearing ears. Let there be seeing eyes. In the name of Jesus, let there be help from your presence. I desire a touch from you this hour. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, our Father and our God, we bless you. We thank you for this season. We thank you for this time. We thank you for gathering your people unto you, for unto the Lord is the gathering of His people. Lord, as you have been speaking to us, it is a time to lean on you. It is a time to hide in you. We lean on you. We hide in you. We run into you. We say, cover us, O God, with your Spirit at this time in the name of Jesus. Father, I say the ability, the strength to minister comes from you. You are the one who can lift us up. Let us know a lifting in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. I don't know whether it's where I am here, but the hallelujah is a little bit low. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. A few months ago, the Lord laid a burden in my heart. Usually, at the end of a dying year, entering a new year, I begin to talk to the Lord that, God, as your people will gather, what is the burden of your heart? What do you want to get across? And very early in the year, the Lord laid a burden on my heart. And the title of what I will be speaking on is Rejoicing in Hope of the Glory of God. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. There is a glory that is coming. We have been hearing about the glory for quite some time, and I am sure in the course of this weekend, we are going to hear about that glory. The glory comes with challenges. It comes with responsibilities. But God says, that which is set before you is so glorious that you can rejoice. You can begin to dance. You can begin to look unto God for a fulfillment of that which He has promised. And we know that He that has promised will bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. We are going to start by looking at the book of Isaiah chapter 35. Maybe let me send my apology a little bit at the beginning. We will be doing extensive reading of the Bible as I find it convenient to do. As I prepared for this ministration, I tried very much to avoid a situation where we will read much of the scriptures, but I discovered that every time I had to go back. So please bear with me if we have to read a lot of places in the scriptures. But some of the things we are going to read are prophetic in nature. So on your own, you will go and take them and begin to pronounce them on yourself. Hallelujah. Isaiah 35, verse 10. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The redeemed of the Lord, those who recognize that a price has been paid upon their lives, those who value the blood that was shed for them, those who know the ability to bring salvation unto them is not in their own strength. The ransom, there shall be a return. As we were praying, I mentioned the fact that the Lord will remove ambiguity. Hallelujah. The returning unto Zion is a bringing of a people to the place of certainty. As I reflected on this, the place that came to mind is the story of Elijah and Israel on the mountain. The account says, Elijah called the people and he said, draw near unto me. And he asked a question. He said, how long do you halt between two opinions?
How long are you going to be ambiguous? How long are you going to be uncertain? If Baal is God, serve Baal. If God is God, serve God. And brethren, the burden that is coming at this time is about serving God, choosing God, working with God, relying on God. Because brethren, I assure you, it is the word of the Lord. And many people have expressed it. There is a shaking that is coming, if it is not already here. And the essence of the shaking is that when the Lord is through, there will be nothing left, but that which cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. The challenges we are going through, the experiences we are going through in our lives is with an intent in mind that a people may run to God for refuge. A people may hide in God. Hallelujah. So the question comes, how long are you going to be uncertain? How long are you going to swing to this way and swing to that way? Hallelujah. Isaiah 60, where we have our theme, says, arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness will cover the people, but the light of God will arise upon you, and men will be drawn to the light of your rising. So the issue is, if you are not rising, what will they be drawn to? If you are not rising in the strength that God has made available to you, how will people look to you? How will they run to you? Hallelujah. But there's an assurance by the Spirit of the Lord that the ransomed of the Lord shall return. There will be a compulsive, you know, a power that will propel them. The Spirit of the Lord will move upon a people and point them in the direction of Zion. Zion speaks about the kingdom of God. It speaks about the people of God. It speaks about a people walking in the light of the power and the glory of God. In fact, the area of emphasis in the body that is coming is the lifestyle of the kingdom. What is God expecting of you? And thank God for some of the ministries that came a little earlier on. That as you look around, you see plenty of churches. On every street, there are churches. But the problem is, how many believers are living the Christ life? The Christ life. The Christian life. Living for Christ. Hallelujah. They shall come to Zion. There shall be a moving unto Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. As they go, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go to Isaiah 30. In Isaiah 30, verse 9, it speaks also about the intent in the heart of God. Isaiah 30, verse 9 says, for the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. The Lord shall move his people to dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. And when you dwell in Zion, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you. At the voice of your cry, when he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. Hallelujah. There shall be great help in Zion. The people shall dwell in Zion. The people shall be prepared. There shall be a return. There shall be a laying hold on God in the name of Jesus. Still further on that particular thrust, I want us to look at Psalm 132. Our brother made reference to it yesterday evening. Psalm 132, still on the matter of Zion. Psalm 132, verse 13 says, for the Lord had chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. I have desired it. I will abundantly bless our provision. I will satisfy our poor with bread. I will clothe our priests with salvation. And our saints shall shout aloud for joy. Hallelujah. I have chosen Zion. I have chosen the Christ life. I have chosen a people to live for God. I have chosen a people that will live the life of Christ. As they live the life of Christ, everything they need will be provided. But the issue is, the matter of ambiguity will be settled once and for all. Hallelujah. Now, let us go back to Isaiah 30. You will begin to get what I am saying. Isaiah 30 verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." Hallelujah. "They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." And somebody will say, but these are very strong words. Why would God take the trouble of putting such strong words in the Bible? A term as strong as woe. But let us look at what God is saying here. He says, there are all manners of counsels, but there is a people or a person that will take counsel, and that counsel is not from me. And there is a people, or there can be a person, that will cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. And how do they go that? Or how do they do that? They walk down into Egypt. They have not asked at my mouth. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be a shame, the trust in the shadow of Egypt a confusion. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." Hallelujah. "Now go, write it before them in a table. Note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, that is, anyone that will take counsel, but not of God. Anyone that will cover with a covering, but not of the Spirit of the Lord, and run to Egypt for help." And God says, their help, their strength is to sit still. Hallelujah. Says, write it, that there is a spirit that will be in operation on the land or in the land. And what will that spirit say? The spirit will say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things." But what should you say to us? "Speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy unto us deceits." Hallelujah. The Lord is saying, we live at a time when there will be an inclination, there will be a propensity to listen to smooth things, to listen to lies. And that is the reason why you find, as you move around on the TV, publications, you know, "Do this, do that. How many wants to be this in 2 days? You know, the Lord has shown me there are 1,000 millionaires in this place. You know, do this and you will become..." And people are screaming. And, you know, first year, you scream. 2 years after, you are still screaming. 5 years after that, you are still screaming, and you are nowhere near the things they are telling you. Hallelujah. They say unto the prophet, "Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us."
Amen.
That will not be our nature. That will not be our lot. That will not be our inclination in the name of Jesus. What the Lord is revealing is that there are two lifestyles that are before us. And the two are beckoning to us. The two are appealing to us. And maybe to enlighten you, I will remind you of what happened in the Garden of Eden. God gave an instruction to man. "I have created you. I desire you to be like me. But there are two trees in this garden. There is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there is the tree of life. Don't partake, don't imbibe, don't take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but of every other tree you can eat." Hallelujah. And the devil came on the scene and asked, you know, the woman, and indirectly the man, "What exactly did God say? Did God tell you you should not eat of this tree?" Don't mind God. "The day you eat of this tree, you shall be like God. You will know everything. Everything God knows, you will know." Hallelujah. God is just deceiving you. And the woman said, "Is that so?" I'm telling you, God is deceiving you. When you eat of it, you will know everything that God knows. And the woman went ahead, took up the tree, and ate, and gave her husband. And they both ate. Hallelujah. And truly, their eyes opened. And the Bible says, in the opening of their eyes, they realized that they were naked. And they called themselves and said, look, we are naked. What should we do about this matter of this nakedness? And I'm sure between the two of them, they said, okay, at least there are trees here. Let's take tree. Let's take leaves. Put the twigs between the leaves and let us cover ourselves. And they covered themselves. And I'm sure after they covered themselves, they must have looked at themselves and said, hey, that serpent must have been saying, before we didn't have any fine dress like this. But now we have a very fine dress. And God came on the scene and looked at them. Said, is this the best you can use to cover yourself? And God took it away. Hallelujah. From that time, man has been doing everything to cover himself. And God saying, be careful at this time not to run to Egypt for help. For Egypt will help in vain. Your strength is to sit still. We will get a little bit more into what we are saying. But let us just continue to look. Verse 15, it says, for thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and in rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall your strength be, but ye will not. But you say, we will flee upon horses. And God says, you will flee. And man says, we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Let's leave verse 17. 18. And therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you? And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you? For the Lord is a God of justice, a God of judgment, a God of mercy. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And then that place we read earlier on, the people shall dwell in the place of true help. The people shall dwell in the place of true sustenance. Hallelujah. Maybe let me give a little more light, then we will come back. Let us look at verse 31 of that Isaiah 30. That is a secret word there that the Lord placed to give an understanding. It says, for through the voice of the law shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Through the voice of the Lord, through the help of the Lord, through the favor, the mercy of the Lord, through the power of the Lord, shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Now, what exactly is that saying? May I say this? Isaiah 30 to 37 is about Zion. It's about the victory of Zion. It's about the help that the Lord will bring unto his people. And the story is about this. The account says, if you read Isaiah 36 and 37, Isaiah 36 and 37, there was an invasion of Israel by the Assyrian king. And the Assyrian king was so terrible. It was so terrifying that he sent one of his officers. And one of the officers called unto the king of Judah. And he said, you are so miserable. You are so weak. You are so unable that I will tell my master, the king of Assyria, I will tell him to give you 2,000 horses. If I give you 2,000 horses, you will not even have enough men to put on those horses. That is, you want to fight with me, I will give you 2,000 horses. If I give you 2,000 horses, you won't even find men to put on those horses to face me. Hallelujah. So, where are you to find help? And then he turns around and says, I hear you have been sending ambassadors to Egypt. You have been telling Egypt to come and help you. Have you not been told that Egypt is an unreliable source of help? Egypt is like, a rod that you hold. When you lean on it, it will pierce you. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Brethren, there are victories that the Lord will take us through at this time. There are challenges that many of us are encountering. And brethren, the challenges will come. It has been mentioned here a little bit earlier. The reason why the challenges will come is because God has decided you are an overcomer. You are a more than conqueror. You are a victor. But how can you be an overcomer and a victor when you have not fought any battles? Hallelujah. But the interesting thing is that the battles are gauged for where you are spiritually. The battles are measured. You know, God is doing a measured training. And he sends challenges. He allows them. Somebody might say, okay, maybe it's not God that sends them. Let's use the word, God allows them to come. So he allows the challenges to come. And the natural inclination of most of us, including myself, when there is a challenge, the first recourse is, what can I do by myself? I don't know about you. I'm talking about myself. That when a problem comes, the first thing I look at is my training, my friends, my contacts. Is there anybody I can quickly, you know, call? Hallelujah. And most times when those ones have failed, maybe we might have whispered one or two words to God and then we remember, ah, yeah, God is there. That is true. God, please don't vex. Can you look at this matter? We have tried every other thing. Hallelujah. God is saying the days are coming that he must be the first port of call. When the challenges come, hallelujah. I'll say that again. God is saying the days are here. When he insists on being your first port of call. Do you know why? God gave me, you know, an illustration. It is like a person who is in a boat. And as you are in the boat and you are going, the boat capsizes. And there were two of you in the boat. You don't know how to swim. The other person in the boat knows how to swim. And you jump inside the water. You find yourself, not that you jump, but you find yourself inside the water. Most times you discover that the reason why most people drown is because there is too much struggle. They will struggle to see if they can keep afloat. And I believe the Lord is saying many of us have been struggling on our own for too long. And when the Lord says, I will wait that I might be gracious unto you, what he is saying is, I will allow you to struggle. You know, if you are a good swimmer and you want to rescue somebody who is about to drown, they will tell you, let him struggle a bit. When he has struggled a bit and is weak, you can now come and carry him and take him. Because if you don't stop, if you jump in at the point he's struggling, not only will he kill himself, he will drag you under the water as well. So step aside, let him struggle. Hallelujah. So the Lord is saying, I have told you, take counsel of me. I have told you, cover with me. Use me as your covering. Use me as your strength. Look to me for help. But should you choose to run in your own strength, I will stay aside and watch you. When you are tired, as I know you will be tired, I will step in and I will be gracious unto you. I will show mercy unto you in the name of Jesus. For the people, verse 19 again, shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you. That at the voice of your cry, at the voice of your cry, at the voice of your cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though you had eaten the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers shall no longer be removed anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. You shall receive instruction. You shall receive direction. You shall know help. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. And you shall defile every covering of a graven image of silver, the ornament, the images of gold. You shall cast them away. You shall say unto it, get away from me. Hallelujah. We shall run from every false help. Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you will sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous in that day. Shall your cattle feed in large pastures? Hallelujah. Verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter. When others know a casting down, you will know a lifting up. In the name of Jesus. It says, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. We know we stand as the moon. We take the light of the Lord. the Lord will increase your light. Your light will be so bright in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Taking the matter further. A people shall live by grace. A people shall live by faith. A people shall live by confidence in the Lord. Every false confidence, every false help will be shaken away. Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 1. He says, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Can Abraham lay claim to any help in the arm of flesh, in his ability? He says, if Abraham were justified by works, he would have reason to glory, but not before God. If Abraham were to come and say, oh, I was the one who helped myself, he can say it to any other person, but he cannot come to God and say that. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or through natural ability, but through the righteousness of faith. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is of faith that grace may be glorified. Brethren, a people shall live by faith. Grace shall be exalted. The arm of flesh will fail. The strength of man will fail in the days in which we are in the name of Jesus. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Abraham believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. It is God who quickeneth the dead. He causes the dead to come alive, and he calls the things that be not as if they are. Hallelujah. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, brethren, our faith must be increased. We will not be weak in faith. Our confidence in God will not be shaken. In the name of Jesus, be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead. Abraham did not walk by sight. He did not walk according to his limitations. He considered not his body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Hallelujah. Brethren, we will not stagger at the promises of God. We will not look at ourselves. We will not look at our circumstances, but we will trust in the living God, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 says, therefore, standing before God by faith, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are justified by faith. We are not justified by fear. We are not justified by doubt, but we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Our access before God is by faith. Hallelujah. The grace in which we stand is also by what? By faith. And therefore, we can rejoice in hope that which God has promised will come to pass. Hallelujah. He says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. When the challenges come, we don't sing, why me, why me? You know, many of us like to sing, why me, unto God. God, you saw that brother, you saw that sister, you left them. It is me you allowed this problem. Hallelujah. We tell tribulations, we are not scared. We tell life's challenges, we are not moved. We are standing on the sure promises that God has made. We will not be moved. Hallelujah. God says, tribulations, when they come, they work patience. Hallelujah. So the question will be, do you want patience? Say yes. And God says, patience comes by tribulation. God, give me patience, but I don't want tribulation. That would be a contradiction as per the word. Hallelujah. You know, I've had cause to share in a few of the places where I found myself that if you say, how many people want to be generals in God's army? Everybody will raise his hand. Okay. You don't want to be a foot soldier. You don't want to be walking behind somebody carrying the gun. You want to be a general. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, glory. And Paul was a very good example. Shipwrecked, these stripes, I was beaten, whatever it is, none of these things move me. Hallelujah. I see a generation, if we are not careful, that these things will move. Hallelujah. In fact, if there's anything, we are doing everything possible to avoid the offense of the cross. Hallelujah. God, if it's possible, let there be no challenges. Smooth life, easy life. Hallelujah. But the Bible says tribulations work patience. And patience works experience. Hallelujah. Lord, I want patience. Lord, I want experience. And it is experience that brings hope. Hallelujah. Why? Hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Hallelujah. Many of us at the beginning of our walk with the Lord, like Peter, will have walked to the Lord and say, I am ready to die for you. I will die. Not only, well, before I die, I will even kill plenty. So that at least before I go. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, you are ready to die. Say, no problem. I'm ready to die. And Jesus must have looked at him and said, you don't know yourself. Hallelujah. Brethren, on account of the experiences that God will allow many of us to go through, we will come to know God. We will come to know the love of God. The God you know will not be, I remember brother so-and-so mentioned that God is good. I don't know whether he's good or not, but he said he is good. And I respect the brother. So obviously, God must be good. Hallelujah. You will know God for yourself. The love of God will be shed abroad in your hearts. None of these things will move you in the name of Jesus. Hope does not make ashamed. The love of God, desire for God, pursuit of God, confidence in God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. Hallelujah. We'll go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul had a burden for Timothy. And Timothy stood for the younger generation, the generation that was to come, the generation that God was raising. And Paul was concerned about the lifestyle, the orientation, the pursuits, the focus of the younger generation. Hallelujah. I want us to start reading from verse 14. That's 1 Timothy 3. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. I, Paul, I am writing to you, son Timothy. It is the desire of my heart to come and see you. But in case I am delayed, in case I tarry long, I have a burden. And that burden is that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Timothy, my son, I have a burden. The burden is, I want you to know how to behave yourself, how to live your life, what should form your focus, what should drive you, what should be your lifestyle. Because how to behave yourself speaks about what will be seen of you. How to behave yourself in the house of God. And what is the house of God? What should the house of God stand for? It says, the house of God, which is the church, is the church of the living God. It is not the church of man, but the church of the living God. Hallelujah. That church ought to be the pillar of truth. It ought to be the ground of truth. Timothy, when I come, there are expectations that I have of the church. The church should be the ground of truth. The church should be the pillar of truth. If you are looking for truth and you come to the true church, you should see it in manifestation. Hallelujah. I'll remind us again, the thrust of the burden is that the word of God says those who are outside will look into the church for help. They will look into the church for direction. They will look into the church for truth. And the church ought to be the pillar of truth. Hallelujah. But the challenge is the church the pillar of truth? Is the church the ground of truth? If men were to come and look in the church, will they find truth? Hallelujah. Because that is the challenge. The challenge is that the church is looking at the world for direction. A lot of people get their direction from what they see on the internet, from what they see on TV, and so on. This is the latest lifestyle. This is the latest way to live. If you want to live, this is what you ought to do. And you know, we keep jumping at it. But the word of God says the church is the pillar of truth. The church is the ground of truth. And Paul was saying to Timothy, be careful. In case I'm not able to come, I am going to put the things you need to pay attention to in writing unto you. Hallelujah. He says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Without doubt, great is the mystery of godliness. And you say, such a word. What does it mean? Great is the mystery of godliness. What he's saying is the lifestyle of the believer is a great thing. The mystery, because it is not something you can come into by the reasoning of the head, by just looking. The Bible says you cannot see nor enter the kingdom by the natural eye. Hallelujah. There is a mystery. It is called the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness speaks of the Christ life, the life of faith, the life of the believer. Paul was saying, Timothy, when you live as a believer should live, there's greatness involved. There's life involved. There is a lifting involved. And how does that life, how did it originate? He says, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus came as man, God wearing the dress of man. He was justified in the spirit. And that is a very key statement there. Jesus came, he put on the flesh, put on the form of man, and he was justified in the spirit. What does that mean? He was made alive by the spirit. He was quickened by the spirit. He was helped by the spirit. And the question is, the secret of the life of godliness is locked up in justification by the spirit, made alive by the spirit, helped by the spirit, lifted up by the spirit, quickened by the spirit. So what are we saying? A life without the spirit is a life that is suspect. We might struggle on our own, but we might not go far. Hallelujah. God was manifest in the flesh. He was quickened in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world and received up into glory. Hallelujah. He says, now, because it's a continuation, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. The mystery of the nature of God, the mystery of the power of God, the mystery of the ability that God gives. Hallelujah. Paul says, I see a day coming. In that day, there will be all manners of attacks upon the mind of the church. And the attack will be as it relates to lifestyle. Don't do this. Don't touch this. Don't do this. Don't touch this. Hallelujah. Now, Paul says, whatever God has created is to be taken with thanksgiving. That is, whatever you do, if you remove thanksgiving, whatever you do, if you take away the life of God, the power of God, it might come to nothing. And I hope we are getting what I'm saying. He says, whatever God has created, people will tell you, if you don't want to die, take this. If you don't want to die, drink this. If you don't want to die, do this. And of course, you look at your wife, you look at your children, you don't want to die. So you begin to swallow a lot of things. But Paul says, whatever God has created, and you take it, and you lay hands on it, that God, I take this with thanksgiving, it will not hurt you. Hallelujah. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Why? It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So you have a choice to put your confidence in what you are consuming or to put your confidence in the word of God and prayer and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, to show the importance of what he was saying, Paul says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, remind them when the time comes, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And do what? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So what am I saying? The Bible is saying there are two lifestyles. There is a lifestyle of godliness, the Christ life, God dependence, allowing the Spirit of God to guide you in everything you do. And it might look like tough. Why do I have a brain? Why do I have common sense? Common sense might carry you some way, but you need to bring it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So the issue is, there are two lifestyles. There is a life that speaks of the life that is now is, and there is a life that speaks of the life, a lifestyle that speaks of the life that is now, and of that which is to come. Hallelujah. Now, am I saying eat anything you see, swallow everything you see? No. There is a Christ life. There is a Christ life. The word godliness speaks of the word discipline, a life of discipline, a life of moderation, a life of balance. Hallelujah. But greater, a life of confidence in God. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say a few other things subsequently. Let us go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, reading from verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Hallelujah. We go to the second part of 5. It says, supposing that gain is godliness. Supposing that gain is godliness. There is a lifestyle that pushes a message. Gain is godliness. The more you have, the more spiritual you are. And that may not be the word of God. Hallelujah. It says, from such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Now, one of the challenges of the church and one of the problems that you will see, nobody is preaching that anymore. Contentment is a word that has been taken out of the Bible and thrown out. God is saying the Christ life, the life of discipline with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. I hope it is in your own Bible. I'm reading the King James Version, but I want to be sure that you are seeing the same thing in your own as well. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Hallelujah. For the love of money. Somebody said, no, they made a mistake. They shouldn't have put that there. That for the lack of money. It is the lack of money that is the root of all evil. Well, the one I am reading says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after,
They have erred from the faith. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Hallelujah.
Of course, the Bible didn't say money is the root of all. It says the love, the pursuit, the focus, making it your life goal. I must acquire this money, you know, by all means, by any means. Bible says as many as have made it a pursuit, they open themselves unto all manners of attacks.
Hallelujah.
Does that mean God will not bless his people? It's about the approach. You can pursue money and err, or you can do the will of God. You can allow the spirit of excellence to direct you. The cry of my heart is that God will stir up the spirit of his people, that we will have the spirit of excellence. And a very good example is Daniel in the Bible. He had an excellent spirit.
Hallelujah.
The account says he got into Nebuchadnezzar's house, saw all the things the people were doing, and he knew that that wasn't exactly what God had caught him out to do. And he decided, I am not going to run my life the way these ones are doing. And he called the people who had responsibility and said, I am not going to eat what they are going to eat. I am not going to do what they're doing. And the people said, but you know, your countenance will look miserable. Your life will be horrible. He says, don't worry. I am obeying God. I am doing what God has told me to do. I'm not going to take that. But you watch out and see if God is faithful or not.
Hallelujah.
And the account says, you know, he chose a different lifestyle. He did not feed on what they were feeding. And after 10 days, they had been looking to see whether it would look miserable. It would look wretched. But did he look wretched? Sorry? Did he look wretched? Did he look miserable? No. Now, the enablement that God gave him, could he have received it by any other means? The account says the king had a dream. He had a dream. He forgot the dream. And he sent around the whole land. I want somebody to tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. There is nowhere, there is no school where you can receive that. It takes God. And it takes God lining up behind a man to cause that to be real in his life. But the key is you could look at the life of Daniel and see that this is a different man. The account says when Daniel was going to be tested, the people sat down and they said, if we were to check this man out, if we were to look at him, we will not find anything we can tie to him apart from the law of his God, apart from the ways of his God.
Hallelujah.
May God grant us such a testimony in the name of Jesus. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, follow after godliness, follow after faith, follow after love, follow after patience, follow after meekness. So it doesn't tell you what you should not follow and leave you vague. Don't pursue this. Pursue this. You know, because somehow one of the things that came to me, I might be wrong, is that a person can be climbing one tree and hoping to find himself on another tree, or climbing one mountain and hoping to find himself on another mountain. And is that going to happen? It's not going to happen. So it's like before us, there is a choice. Follow after godliness. Follow after the nature of God. Follow after the Christian faith, the Christian way, the way of God.
Hallelujah.
12. Fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight that involves you. It is a good fight. It is a fight of confidence in God. A fight of faith that God, I know you will not leave me. God, I know you will not forsake me. God, I know you will not disappoint me. I have decided to line up behind you. Your word will guide me. I will put my trust in you. I will not trust in the arm of flesh.
Hallelujah.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Please, let me say this. I am not saying don't exercise. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I exercise, I jog, I run. What I am saying is don't make... Let me put it this way. There is a picture that is coming out of Hollywood. You see the woman, very lean, everything is in place, and you look and say, I wish I were like this. Wow! You might look like that, but still be very miserable. Many of them are swallowing all manners of, you know, taking all manners of injections, swallowing all manners of things to put up a plastic smile on their faces.
Hallelujah.
There is a God lifestyle. Don't borrow from them. Let them come and borrow from you.
You have something that is powerful. You have something that is glorious. Hallelujah. Maybe let me put it this way. Somebody will say, I want to go on a diet. Somebody might say, I want to go on a fast. And might say, well, what's the difference between a fast and a diet? Is there a difference between a fast and a diet? Sorry? There is. One has a spiritual benefit. The other one is so that you can look, you know, like that. Thank God for looking like that. But it will not prepare you for the life that is to come. Let us face the things that will prepare us for the life that is to come. Hallelujah. So please don't get me wrong. I hope I'm clear. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. God is going to bless his people. He is going to bless them in a mighty way. But he will bless them when he knows they are not going to make idols of what he has given to them. You are going to be busy doing what God, like our brother was saying, it's a time to move forward. You are going to move. And as you are moving and you are doing what God wants you to do, you will see God bringing things unto you. I'm not recommending a life of lack. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying a life of trust. God is a better investment than the world or the ways of the world. Hallelujah. We will read a final place and then we will begin to pray. Jeremiah 30 is a prophecy. Speaks about the desire in the heart of God that pity wants to do at this time. Says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Like our brother said, what you find in the scriptures are three levels of interpretation. Natural, spiritual, and the ultimate, the final. This is a prophecy that is coming to us. It is a prophecy unto Zion, and I believe it is the word of the Lord for now. Lo, the days come, says the Lord, I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. There shall be a return. There shall be a laying hold on God, a running into God, a hiding in God, dependence on God, looking to God for help. Hallelujah. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. In the name of Jesus, we shall be saved out of it, in Jesus' name. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, I will burst your bones, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of you. All those that have ridiculed, all those that have laughed, like I said earlier on, the Assyrian stands for all the names that have intimidated us prior to now. All the names that have, you know, laughed us to scorn. All the names that have pushed us to run helter-skelter. Hallelujah. Their captivity shall be broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I will break his yoke from off your neck. I will break your bones. And strangers shall no longer exact upon you in the name of Jesus. For you shall serve the Lord your God and David, the greater David, your king, who I will raise unto you. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet. You shall be in rest, and you shall be quiet. You shall not be agitated. You shall not run helter-skelter, looking for help where no help can be found. Hallelujah. And none shall make him afraid. You will not be afraid anymore in the name of Jesus. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Do I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you, So, though darkness comes upon the earth, gross darkness upon the people, it shall not be your lot. Hallelujah. I will correct you in measure. I will not leave you altogether unpunished. I will steer you in the way you should go. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. All your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil you shall be a spoil. They that prey upon you, I will give for a prey. I, the Lord, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. So, this prophecy is concerning Zion. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents. I will have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon our own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Hallelujah. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will multiply you, you shall not be few. I will glorify you, you shall not be small. In the name of Jesus. The children shall be as before. Their congregation shall be established before me. I will punish all that oppress them. All that oppress you will be punished in the name of Jesus. Their nobles shall be of themselves. Their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near. He shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me? Says the Lord. Brethren, we will engage our hearts to approach unto God at this time in the name of Jesus. Says, you shall be my people and I will be your God. Hallelujah. 31, we'll just speak a few things and then we'll begin praying. At the same time, says the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people which were left of the sword, they found grace in the wild place, even Israel, when I caused him to come to rest. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I will draw you. I will build you, and you shall be built. You shall be adorned again with tabrets. You shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye! Let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north, I will gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travails with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, they shall come with supplications, will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. Declare it in the eyes of Pharaoh. Say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. He will keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He has ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing where? In the height of Zion. There shall be rejoicing. There shall be gladness in the height of Zion. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. There shall be wheat. There shall be wine. There shall be oil for the young of the flock, for the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. The Lord will water his people in the name of Jesus. And they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Hallelujah. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them. I will make them rejoice from their sorrow. I will satiate. I will fulfill the soul of the priest with fatness. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities whereof, when I shall bring again their captivity, when I shall turn their circumstances around. When they come to me crying, depending on me, I will turn their situation around and this shall be declared in your midst. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. It shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up false trust, false confidence, false hopes, and to break down, to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I have watched when there is a plucking up. I have watched when there is a breaking down. I have watched when there is a throwing down and when there is an affliction. But I, the Lord, will now watch to build you, to plant you. Hallelujah. I believe at this time we can begin to pray. We can look to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying there are two lifestyles. There are two trees. There are two orientations. A man can live of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or a man can live of the tree of life. But the word of God says, we have borne the image of the earthly. We must bear the image of the heavenly. It says, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. If our focus, if our pleasure, if our drive, if that which pushes us is only in this life, we are miserable. Bible speaks of varying degrees of glory. There is a natural glory. There is a spiritual glory. There is a terrestrial glory. There is a celestial glory. And the Lord is saying, the earthly glory is good. Terrestrial glory is good. But there is a higher glory. There is a glory of the sun. There is a glory of the moon. There is a glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. Let there be a cry. Lord, I desire your glory. I desire your covering. I desire your counsel. I will not run helter-skelter. I will not lean upon false trusts. Brethren, please, I want you to know what I am saying is not like speaking to you. It is a personal dealing in my life. It is a clear instruction, the Lord speaking to me, that there are challenges you are going to have, and I am going to seat every attempt you make in your own energy. It will fall to the ground. I will wait. My grace is available, but I will wait. It is when you truly come to me that I will be gracious unto you. And like, Elijah asked the people, how long will you halt between two opinions? How long will there be uncertainty? God is God. God is God. God is God. Baal is not God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the things we are looking at outside, the people we are looking at, the things we are looking at, ought to be looking at us. There is a glory that God has prepared for us. Let us look towards God. Let us rejoice no matter what comes our way. Okay, tribulations come, challenges come. They have an end in view, that the love of God may be shared abroad in our hearts. A people shall truly say, God will love you. God will love you. God will love you. We love you above any other love. We will serve you. Hallelujah.
Time.